The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
And the talk this evening will be given by Senior Assistant Teacher Alan Richardson.
So here we are, doing nothing. And we have been trying our best to do nothing all day. Pretty hard, isn't it? So what did you do this weekend? Oh, nothing. It was really hard. So why is that? Why is it hard to do nothing? Pierce named it earlier tonight when he talked about the mind manager, the manager mind. Lin Ji talks about this too. He calls it the head that we put on top of the head we already have. And Lin Ji might have said to his students, instead of you want to put a head on top of the head you already have, he might have said, you want to use that head that's already on top of the head you already have to practice with, but instead you should be letting it go. Because we all have this head on top of the heads that we were born with. And we aren't really given a lot of choice about it early in life. Because like other things that are very, very useful up to a point and then become the cause of great suffering, this head on top of our head has its uses up to that point. And we are pretty much forced to develop it as children. Here's another story about childhood. Tell me if these phrases sound familiar to you. Think about what you're doing. Watch yourself. Watch what you're doing. Watch your mouth. Watch what you're saying. Now think before you do that. Did you hear those phrases? I heard them a lot, and my parents were doing what parents do. Probably all human societies have some version of this, because we need at a certain point to learn how to monitor our own behavior and words and actions, and that would be okay if it didn't become so overbearing. If that mind manager didn't become the supervisor from hell that just won't let up for a moment, that's constantly finding fault, that's constantly disappointed, and that's also constantly telling stories and weaving them together into this grand narrative that we call me. That we call the self, and which has all these contradictions in it and keeps changing. And the more it changes, the more the supervisor head wants to say, oh no, I've always been that way. No, that wasn't me. I know I said that. I wasn't being myself. So it becomes pretty untenable. And it becomes a cause, again, of suffering. I've had a chance this summer to spend some time with three young kids, a three-year-old and her older sister who just turned five, and their little brother who turned one this summer. And they don't have such a strongly developed head on top of their heads yet. they are constantly realizing what Lin Ji calls their wonderful function. And it's really fun to watch them and be with them and play with them. In their expression, their wholehearted, often expression of their original wonderful function. It's a lot of fun, and I find myself smiling a lot, and other people, and lots of laughter, until it stops being fun. Sometimes it stops being fun. And then a well-meaning adult, a parent maybe, will say, "Now, watch what you're doing there. Now think about that." And so it starts all over again. Mostly it's quite charming, but we might take them to some public place like a pet store or a park, and not everybody's charmed. Some unsuspecting citizen may actually be filled with dismay at this display of wonderful function. But that's our birthright, and that's what we lose when the head on top of the head we already have gets so demanding and so merciless and won't let up, won't let us lie in bed doing nothing, won't let us feel what a couple of you now have noticed today, just this pleasure of being alive. This wonderful sense of, wow, I'm living. How amazing. This is when that head on top of our head lets up, when we let it go, when we let it float away like a helium balloon. And then it's back again. So I love that. And maybe this is just an accident of the translation we have. I don't know. But I love that Lin Ji says to his students, practice having nothing to do. Practice having nothing to do. That this is a practice. That as we've been discovering together on this retreat, in our Sangha, maybe for months together, maybe for years together, it's not easy. It takes some practice. It takes some practice to recover that wonderful function. And so we practice together. We practice sitting and just sitting and not watching that, not judging it, not thinking it should be different, just enjoying our wonderful function, which is the same as the wonderful function of all the Buddhas and ancestors. So my encouragement is now to practice having nothing to do. Just sit.